Hashem, this Shir could be a schus for Avital Rina Bas Gila. Be'ez Hashem, we should only hear good things. Amen. We, Rabbi Say, here we are. We're going to jump straight in to the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos. And why are we going to do that? That's because we've done everything else. Baruch Hashem, through 63, 64 hours of work, we've completed the entire weekday Amida. We've done everything from Hashem Sifasai Tiftach, which is the preamble Pasuk, all the way to the Yehi Ratzon at the end of Tachnunim, after you take three steps back. I mean, we've done the lot. Which, what does that mean for you? It means, frankly, two things. I was thinking about this, and this is important. One is it means that you've covered the vast majority of all the tefillos you ever say and what we've discussed, that you've got a lot to think about during that time and a lot to revise over. But two is it actually makes your Shabbos and Yontif Shmona Esrei easily. It makes it more easy. Let me explain. You already know that the beginning of the bracha, which we're going to say at the beginning of any Amida now, is always Avos, Gevurois, and Kedushas Hashem. And we've done that. And you know that the end of any Amida prayer will always be Avoda, Haidah, and Shalom. And you know that because you've done that. Which now gives you extra impetus, extra strength, and extra ability to focus far harder on the one bracha you need to make in the middle, because you don't have 13 brachas to make in the middle. I can hear an argument you saying, listen, there's 63 hours or 64 hours of work, whatever it is we did prior to cover the Amidah, and there's these 13 middle brachas, and there's a lot of different ideas. How did we do it? We split it up into two groups of six, six personal, six national, and then Shema Kaleinu, and then the bracha of tefillah itself. So we said that was like the lettuce and the cheese with a squirt of mayonnaise. And there's a lot to think of, because there's all those things about me personally, and there's all those things about the nation of Israel and my place within it. There's a lot to think about, and that's challenging. So what do you do there? You have to think of one bracha at a time, work on one bracha at a time, build yourself up and get the whole Shemona Esrei under your belt. It takes years, but you can do it. But we've given ourselves a lot of groundwork, a lot of ideas that we can think about. When it comes to Shabbos, let's say, on page 340 in your helpful art scroll Siddur, you'll find there's only one bracha. Baruch atah Hashem mekadesh haShabbos. Blessed are you Hashem who sanctifies the Sabbath. That is your middle flavouring. So you've got two bits of bread and one piece of meat in the middle. Nothing else. No mustard, no celery, no salad. Just one piece of cold cut. That's all. All you have to focus on, all you have to know about is that one idea. Once you've got that one idea sold, you've the first three and the last three brachas you're already experts at because you've worked at it so much. So really this gives you a far greater leverage and an ability to be able to say, I can focus on the middle bracha because I get the fact there's nothing else to focus on here. The filling is the only thing that's different in a Yontif or Shabbos. And therefore it's easier for me to just think about the filling because I've done the pieces of bread prior. That is a very big assistance that you have or anyone listening to the series has that people that haven't don't have. So you should congratulate yourselves and also understand your increased responsibility to say, now that I know more about the first and the last three, it behooves me to focus more in the middle because I can, because I've done all the groundwork. I don't have 13 to think about, I've got one to think about. There's no argument. Think about it from Shemaim, there's no argument to say, look, if you couldn't think about 13, I could hear it. But one you could focus on because you've done so much work. So what we're going to do is we're going to go according to Todir, what's most common. I was thinking, should I do Rosh Chodesh? Should I do Yontif? Yom Neroim are coming up, do all the Uvachains of Rosh Hashanah. But I thought, what's the most common? The most common is Shabbos. We always go with what's the most common. Shabbos happens every 7 days, whether we like it or not. And the first difference in the Shabbos Amida that we come across is the Mariv of Shabbos Amida. That's the first Shabbos Amida we do. The first standing prayer that we hit on Shabbos, which is every week, is Mariv of Shabbos. And there's only one bracha, and that's Kedushas Hayom, the sanctity of the day. So without further ado, I'd like to jump straight into Ata Kidashta Es Yom HaShavi'i Lishmecha, which are incredibly odd words. I didn't bring my Sephardi Siddur, I'm sorry, but it's very similar in the Sephardi bit to start with. There's going to be some differences, but Ata Kidashta, you have sanctified. Now, if you're in it, everyone, Baruch Hashem, is a modern translation, but this one is great. Thou didst hallow the seventh day unto thy name. It's a brilliant old school. It's brilliant. It's like really old school English there. But if you've got a singer siddur, you may need to update. But Ata Kidashta Es Yom HaShavi'i Lishmecha, you sanctified the seventh day for your name's sake. Notice it's Lishmecha. It's to your name. You sanctified the seventh to your name. Tachlis ma'aseh shemayim va'aretz, for the conclusion or the outcome or the focal point of all creation of heaven and earth, uvarachtayim mikol hayomim, and you blessed all the days. We've got to discuss what this all means. So, let's start right at the beginning. You have sanctified or consecrated the seventh day to your name, or for your namesake. Literally, lishmecha is to your name or for your name. I saw something in the Sefer Be'er Mayim that quotes the Anaf Yosef in the Oter HaTefillos. Okay, right? So we're looking at the Anaf Yosef in the Oter HaTefillos. And I'm basically going to read you, I've only done this once or twice, I think in the first time I ever started, I quoted verbatim a Rambam. I just read it to you. I'm going to read you straight a translation of what he says in the Oter HaTefillos in the Sefer Anaf Yosef. I'm just going to read it to you, okay? Now, I'm warning you, this is very Zoharistic in language. It's extremely lofty and mystical. Don't get lost. We're going to have to break this down. It'll be practical. Believe me, everything I'm doing is very practical. You've got to have stuff you can think, I'm not, oh man, focus on the letter, whatever, man. It's got to be stuff we can hold. But he goes off here into very beautiful, almost esoteric language. Let me just read it to you, and then we'll break it apart, okay? But in this bit, you may think, oh my word, what have I come to? You know what I'm saying? Don't worry, just you stick with me. It's beautiful words, but they're very, very lofty. Here we go. He says like this, the main purpose of creation is that God wanted to benefit others, to do good to his creations, which is to give them pleasure that their souls receive from the splendor of the Shekhinah, which is the divine presence. There is no greater desire in the world. Nothing is more pleasant or precisely wonderful and beloved as receiving the vision of God and enjoying his presence. This is the ultimate hope. No human eye has ever gazed upon it, and no mind has ever fathomed it. Only God himself understands this pleasure. The pleasure will be in the seventh millennium. We're now at 5, 7, 7, 8. We're getting close. We're at the end, right? We're end of the sixth. When there will be the main receiving of reward. This is all Derech Hashem type stuff for anyone that's done Derech Hashem. And is related in the books of the Kabbalists. And this is the secret of the great Shabbos, where the whole millennium will turn into Shabbos. The main purpose of creation, he says, now this is key because we said Tachlis Shmai Va'aretz in the Tefillah. The main purpose of creation was for this ultimate Shabbos, to then make his creation enjoy his goodness. That's why he did it. Every regular Shabbos, God in his kindness radiates an influence to all the worlds from the light of his presence. The person fortunate enough to receive the Kedusha of Shabbos, and he says how? By refining his thoughts and the organs of his body, will sense the light of God's holiness. His heart will burn within him and give him a great desire for Hashem. He will also add on from the weekday to the holiness of the Shabbos, as at its beginning is at the end. The beginning of the week is Shabbos. Then we count 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day through the... So that Shabbos infuses the week coming up, which is why the Shabbos before any important Yontif has a special name. It's not the Shabbos after the Yontif. The Shabbos before Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shuvah. The Shabbos before something coming up is the special Shabbos. The Shabbos before Pesach is Shabbos HaGadol. Not the Shabbos after, it's not the culmination of it. The Shabbos has it in and then it kind of radiates down. All will be done out of this great zeal to cleave to God and out of great love. Adkan, that ends the Anaf Yosef in the Oter HaTefillos that is brought by the Be'er Mayim saying what's going on with Shabbos. So let's just get this clear. The reason God created the universe, according to Kabbalistic text, is in order to give of his good to another. And that good is the greatest possible pleasure because there's no deficiency associated with it. Any other good you ever receive, or any other pleasure you experience, is limited. It's limited by something. God isn't limited by anything. So when he reveals himself to you, there's no end to it. And no one can chat what that means except for God himself, because no one has experienced infinity yet. But that's the reason he created the world. So when is the real creation of the world coming to its completion? When is God getting what he wants?
When is he?
Yeah, if that's what he created it for, when does he get what he wants? No, what kind of Shabbos are we talking about? The super Shabbos of the seventh millennium.
Yeah.
So really, the whole world was only created for the super Shabbos of the seventh millennium. And we kind of have to go through this world gaining justificational rights to get that super Shabbos that he's... But really, all he wants to do is give of his good to another in this zone that we're calling this super Shabbos. It didn't take long.
We've got to earn that, haven't we?
You've got to earn that, otherwise you won't be justified. Yes, Rabbi Adrian.
If I'm right, we didn't have to earn it. When he set Adam up, Adam was in that super Shabbos.
No, he was not.
Because
why couldn't he have been?
Because
he hadn't earned it. Remember, rule is one God wants one man to do one mitzvah once on one day to earn one world. That's it. That's all he wants. But at the state of prior to doing the mitzvah, he's in a quandary where he has to make a choice to justify it. So yes, he was on the verge of entering Eden, but he was in Gan Eden. He was in the portico before Eden. What we're after is Eden proper. Yeah. And we want the real Shabbos. Remember, when was he created? Friday afternoon. He was created Friday afternoon. All he had to do was get to Shabbos. But he couldn't wait. How long was it before? How long before Shabbos could he not wait to eat the Eitz Das? When he ate the Eitz Das, how long was there on the watch to go before Shabbos?
1 hour, 15 minutes.
3 hours. Excellent. There were 3 hours. 3 hours. That's why we wait 3 years for Orla. When you have a tree that starts budding fruit, there's a Torah mitzvah that says you can't pick any fruit off that fruit tree for the first 3 year cycles. Rabbanon came along, the rabbis came along, made something called Ravai, said keep an extra year. Because most people aren't such experts in all trees to know exactly when a tree's cycle changes over based upon it's to do with its petals or it's to do with its fruit, because different trees bud in different ways at different times and stuff like that. So it becomes complicated. So keep a fourth year to make sure you keep all 3 years. Why do we keep 3 years? Because he couldn't wait 3 hours to eat of the Eitz Das Tevara, we have to wait 3 years to eat any eights. To remind us, patience. Had he just had patience for 3 hours, he would have eaten the Eitz Das as Kiddush. He would have made Kiddush over the Eitz Das Tevara. He would have made Kiddush over it. So he says, it's fine now. I only set it up for 3 hours as a test for you. Every important mitzvah, any important mitzvah in the Torah, think of the most choshuva mitzvahs you can think of. What do we always have with that choshuva mitzvah? What? Kiddush. We always put a kois. If you can, throw a kois in. There's even an attitude to say every time you bench, you should bench over a kois. Not just on Shabbos. Every time. Why are we always throwing in a cup of wine? Baby's born, throw a cup of wine. People getting married, throw in a cup of wine. Having a birthday, throw in a cup of wine. Anything kosher, throw in a cup of wine. Why are we always throwing cups of wine?
Is it to do with this, the fruit?
He'd have made Kiddush over that wine. That was the wine. But that was in Aden, not in Gan Aden. Gan Aden is prior to Aden. You've got to get there. How do you unlock the key? Do what I tell you. That's too much, sorry. I've got to do it my way. Come Shabbos next week then. You won't come for Shabbos this week, next week. We know one divine day is 1,000 earth years from Tehillim 90. So 6,000, that's what it says, Tehillim 90. 1,000 days are but one day. 1,000 years, earth years, are one divine day. So 6,000 years is come next week. You can't come for Shabbos this week. Come next week. You want to take the long way around, do it yourself. See you next week for Shabbos. But one way or another, you're coming for Shabbos because I only created you to come for this global Shabbos. Think my good to you. Either you can walk in immediately or you can take the detour route. What would you like to do? I don't know if Shin thought the detour route would be better. What do we all know now? He was wrong. He was very, very wrong. I got news for you. That detour route included the Holocaust. I've got news for you.
And everything else.
Okay? So the tachlis, ma'aseh shemayim va'aretz, the conclusion was why he made it at the beginning. What a strange thing to say. He only made it, He only made it for what the conclusion was. What's the conclusion? Shabbos. So he only made the weekdays for the conclusion, which is this great global Shabbos. So the real tachlis that we're talking about here is not the regular Saturday you're saying this on. You come Friday night, you're davening in shul, and you say, tachlis mesech shem avaretz. What are you really referring to? You aren't referring to the Friday night you're experiencing. You're referring to the great Shabbos, which is yet to happen. Do you understand what we're saying? The real tachlis of creation is the great Shabbos where he gets to give of his good to another, which is why he made you. He wants to shower you with his pleasure. He is the ultimate pleasure. You've got to earn getting there. Adam Rishon has made that much, much, much harder for you. So fine, so now everyone's got to do their bit to earn it themselves and the whole thing that we've all learned through Derech Hashem, how that all works. Okay, b'vakasha. But in the meantime, what he really wants to do is have that closest to you. How does he get that closest to you? Got to get to Olam Haba. Olam Haba is the great Shabbos. That's it. That's end game.
Why don't we count down on Shabbos to the next Shabbos? Why do we count the Shabbos plus one, Shabbos plus two?
No, it's a way. It's not down, it's a way. This is one day from Shabbos. This is 2 days from Shabbos.
Okay,
this
so is why aren't we counting towards we're getting to
No, Shabbos? We're losing the energy. This is a Derech Hashem question. The Derech Hashem question. You get a vaccine on day one. Every day after the vaccine, the medicine's wearing off.
I understand that.
That's
I appreciate
it.
That.
Yeah. You don't count out to Shabbos. You count away from the last inoculation. The global Shabbos, we don't know when that's happening. Now, you want to say 6093 from Isis to Rabbi Akiva? That's if we don't bring it in earlier. We don't know when the great Shabbos happened. We can only count away from what we got. So, that was the Ota Tefillahs that said, it's all about this grand Shabbos. Now, this great love that we're talking about that Hashem's going to give to us is going to be evident. It's interesting, Rabbi. The Chazal say about Rabbi Yehuda bar Rav Eli in the Gemara that on Friday afternoon they'd bring him a basin of hot water, he'd wash his hands and feet, which is an idea, by the way, that even if you're late, you should at least wash your hands and feet with hot water in the honour of Shabbos. Because of this story of Rabbi Ben Eli. So even if you can't have a shower, it's mamish, you are mamish cut to the wire. You ran home. It's like, back then, it's like, I'm not going to make it. Right? Hot water, hands and feet. Covered Shabbos. Covered Shabbos. Do something. Get just turn on the hot tap. You can't, you're meant to have a proper shower. 9 cover water. You're meant to put over yourself a covered Shabbos Kodesh. The covered Shabbos Kodesh, put 9 cover of water over yourself every Shabbos. It's like 9 cups. You've got to do that. Something for, I can't. I don't have time. I don't have time. Hands and feet. Hands and feet, wash it. Now, look, if you don't have time for hands and feet, you've got to keep Shabbos rather than boil up water. Obviously, Shabbos is more important than preparing for it. But if you can, at least hot hands and feet. Clean yourself up. Do so. I told you the story about the two women who went collecting for tzedakah and one pointed. Told you that story. The Rebbetzin, Vilna Gaon's Rebbetzin, and I've forgotten who else it was, and they missed a lady. I told you the story. Come on, guy, come on. Oh, for goodness sake, I need to tell you the story just so I can get back to the whole thing with hands and feet. So. Rebbetzin Kramer, who was the wife of the Vilna Gaon, and another Rebbetzin who's very famous, is it Mendel? I can't remember her name. They had a thing that Erev Shabbos they go round, thank you, collecting money for Aniyim Erev Shabbos. I've got news for you, it's a difficult thing for a woman to do that Erev Shabbos, she's busy. And they go around collecting Erev Shabbos, and it was very hard for them, so they made a pact that whoever would die first would come back to the other in a dream and let the other one know whether or not what they're doing is choshev. That was the whole thing. That's, they wanted to know. Do you remember that? Okay. So Rebbetzin Kramer outlived the other one. I can't remember the other lady's name. It's a fair famous story. Everyone probably listening is going, oh, that's Rebbetzin. She died. The other one died. She came to her in a dream. And she said, do you remember all those years ago, we made a pact saying, whoever dies first has to come back to the other and tell the other one how choshev what it is we're doing is Erev Shabbos collecting for an inn. So in the dream she says, yeah, I do remember that actually. He goes, right, I've not been permitted to tell you. I'm sorry about that. Like, yeah, I didn't realise there are rules. You know, we just made this thing up. It's like, I'm not permitted to tell you. But I have been allowed to disclose one small piece of data to you that I've been allowed to do. And in the fulfilment of what of doing this, I fulfilled my obligation to you. But I can't tell you the whole thing because I'm not allowed. But I can tell you one thing. Shemaim has let me tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you one thing, and that's all. So she's all ears in a dream. So this. Do you remember that once we knocked on a rich lady's house, Erev Shabbos, and she wasn't in? No, know, such and such a house, lady such and such. I don't remember. And then we saw her in the street doing her shopping. And I pointed to her and said, look, there's that so-and-so lady that we missed. Let's go up to her now and get a donation for the Gemach. Now, because she wasn't home. So you're like, yeah, all right. So she walked across the street and asked if she gave a penny or two, and that was it. Just, do you remember that? So the Roberts and Kramer said, vaguely, yeah, it was not unimportant. Yeah. Should let me tell you now that my reward for going round collecting money Erev Shabbos is so much higher than yours because I raised my hand and pointed at the lady and said, let's go and ask her. He says, you cannot imagine how much higher I stand in heaven than you because I raised my arm to go and do some tzedakah. I've not been permitted to tell you how important what it is we were doing is in Hashem's eyes, but I can tell you the schar that I will get will be completely beyond the schar you will get because of that one motion of my right hand. Because that's all I'm permitted to tell you. We do learn out that if you're going to be keeping Shabbos, even shining your shoes or washing your hands, Erev Shabbos, so greatly enhances the mitzvah that you can't imagine how much reward you'll be getting more by showing honor to the Shabbos like that. It's impossible to understand. It's impossible to understand because why were you washing your hands? Covered Shabbos. Oh, he was doing something covered Shabbos. But when you start putting that through God's infinite payment scheme, those teeny little insignificant meaningless acts of covered Shabbos become ridiculous amounts more money for you in the account. Does this make sense? Everyone got the mushroom with the story?
Yeah.
I'm back. Okay. Chazal say, you probably have heard this, it's a very, very famous idea, that Shabbos is like 1/60th of the world to come. Now, 1/60th is always a term that is utilized anywhere to talk about the boundary of perception. You can just perceive it. Where else do we see 1/60th? Where else do we see 1/60th? Milk and meat. So give me the example. What could happen with 1/60th?
A little bit of drop of milk.
And right, I got a big pool of chalent, and by accident, not on purpose, by accident, one drop of milk falls into it, and it is got 1/60th ratio or more against the milk, so against the meat, so there's more meat than that milk, and it becomes nullified. Why? Because 1/60th of milk in the pot of cholent, what are we worried about is taste. Can you taste that milk in that meat? We say when it gets down to the level of 60th, you can know, it's so on the boundary of perception, it's like it's not there. So therefore, we permit it, biddy evered, post facto, not on purpose, not if you actually added one drop as the recipe, then the whole thing's trafe. But by accident, if it fell in, then we say it's permitted because it isn't really palpable in your taste buds. So 1/60th, sleep is considered 1/60th of death. Why? It's just on the boundary of what it means to die. It isn't, because death is far more intense than that. But the concept of losing consciousness and like going out of the world for a bit is on the boundary of perception. A dream is like 1/60th of nevuah. All these things of 1/60th is it's not there, but it's almost there. Shabbos is like 1/60th of Olam Haba. It's not there, but it's on the boundary of perception. It's kissing that boundary. It's nudging what we're really on about. If you really keep a good Shabbos, and you really focus it, you are posher, almost touching the boundary of perception of what it really is for Olam Haba. This great goodness that Hashem's giving, you can almost get there. It's so thin. It's so almost unreachable, but you can just start to get the idea at the peak of a good Shabbos of what this great good is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has talked about the way that he wants to set aside for you.
Could I ask a question about that boundary of perception?
Could you hold to the end? If it's about boundary of perception, then can we hold it to the end? If it's about Shabbos, then now.
No, that one.
Okay. Shabbos is called an end indeed but it is the first in mind. I've got to discuss this with you. This is key. There's so many examples. Why do you want to go to work? It's a means to an end. What's the means to an end? What? Money. Why do you want the money?
Pay the bills.
And why do you want to pay the bills? To eat. Very good. That's really the outcome of all money is bread. Right? Why do you want to eat? Because you want to survive. Notice about the concept of going to work. Now it's down to survival. Why do you want to survive? Right. Exactly. Oh. So the outcome of you really getting your bag ready to go is that the outcome is because I've got a kasubad, I've got organoids, I've got to eat, I've got to survive, I've got children. Why? Because at the end of the day, that's my purpose. So my ultimate purpose is driving the things that I'm doing now. The ultimate purpose for Hashem is what? What is the ultimate purpose of why he made the whole thing? Give his good to another. So the first thing that he was really thinking about was Shabbos. This ultimate Shabbos that we're talking about. So, you know what he's going to have to do? Create light and dark. Create the sun and the moon. Create all the animals. Create the sea. Create humans. Create a test. Create justification. In order to be able to say, can you earn your place in this? Because I'm only doing it because I want to get into Shabbos. The whole thing is only about getting into Shabbos. So I'm going to make the sun. So the sun's sitting there. Why am I doing this? Because I'm going to make a creature that's going to join me in Shabbos. So why are you burning so much? I mean, you know, the core of the sun is liquid iron. Isn't that amazing? It's a huge atomic explosion, which is self-sustaining. But eventually it'll run out because it's only got so much fuel. It's a limited thing, right? All stars are limited. Why did he make them? Why? Eventually, if you answer all those questions, for Shabbos. For this ultimate giving of his good to another, which is in the realm of what we call Shabbos, what he's calling Shabbos. So we're saying, Tachlis Ma'aseh Shemayim Va'aretz, the very conclusion of everything, the first thing he was thinking about was Shabbos. Everything else came afterwards. Very interesting thing. Now this pleasure, by the way, is not just for you. It's also for everything he's created in the entire system. Now even though this is clearly not a Derech Hashem Shir, clearly not. We are touching, welcome to Derech Hashem. For all those who have ever done my Derech Hashem Shirim, here you can see a diagram I'm using, which this one's gone colour, it's gone pro. I know. It's gone. In my day, it was handwritten pencil on a piece of paper. And now in your, look at this, it's gone computerised. That's right, look at this. Everyone seeing it in the tape is listening going, what are they talking about? Well, I hold in my hands, for all those that are in audio land, a picture of the full world system. This has pictures and arrows and colours and flowcharts and stuff like that. And the entire system of the koichos, of the primordial forces that Hashem first made in creation, all the angels, all the stars, if there are extraterrestrials, all the extraterrestrials, and then finally humanity, right at the bottom of the pile here, the whole, and Bob the Mallard, thank you for all those that did the Derech Hashem thing, Bob the Mallard and John at the bottom, excellent. Bring up Bob, it's always good to think about Bob. All of this system, all get Shabbos. It's not just John at the bottom. It's everybody. The Malachim also get a Shabbos. Hashem is going to shower his bounty to everything in the system, but we're going to enjoy it the most. Why are we going to enjoy it more than the Malachim? Right, we've got the Bechira. We're going to be pulled by evil and say, I really, fully, 100% justified this. They didn't. They were in the system doing what they were told, like robots. We were really on our own graft saying, should I, shouldn't I? I could, I couldn't. Should I ignore good? Should I do it? Should I do it? I want it. Bavakasha. So each thing, the fish, the lions, the tigers, the angels, whatever they are, everything will gain this pleasure, each according to its own capacity, according to their level of comprehension. As we recite coming up Yom Ha'Raim in Rosh Hashanah, we're going to say in the future world, in the Uvachains, which I was very much thinking about doing with you, which is this big introduction into Kedushas Hashem, the third brocha, we add in lots and lots of paragraphs talking about Hashem's greatness. It says there, let everything that has been made know that you made it. Let every creation understand you fashioned it. Let everything that has a soul, that includes things that maybe aren't human, declare that the God of Israel is king, and his kingdom rules over us. When the Gentiles daven to Hashem, they have a mitzvah, Birchas Hashem is the third mitzvah of the Shefer Mitzvah Zaynach. What name of God do they have to use to daven to Hashem? Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel. Think about that for one moment, Rabbi Sai, what that means. If you're a goy, you are going to be frum, and you're going to daven to Hashem, because what you've got to do, you've got to set up a court of justice, thank you, not be cruel to animals, don't worship avodah zarah, and you've got to daven to Hashem. What's the name of Hashem? I'm their God. I'm the Jewish God. How many times a day they daven, they've got to daven to the Jewish God. Now, what does that mean about you? You're his ambassador. He's telling them, you want me? I'm their God. You're his name. God's name devolves on you. Because if you're an alien in another planet and you're attending a shir, you're a good alien. You're a good boy alien. You're attending a shir and you're learning all about things. Then you learn that, well, actually, God picked another life form on another planet in another galaxy called the Milky Way. That's what they call it anyway, but we call it Jim John. And they call it Milky Way because I think there's a chocolate or something like that. And they go there, and that's where Hashem wants to be close to. So our role is to do as much as we can do to assist them utilizing our spirituality, so we still have to daven to the Kei Yisrael. We're the God of it. You still have to daven to the Kei Yisrael. We're saying everything that understands as a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to get that Shabbos. If you understand, if you have any semblance of understanding, whatever semblance you have, you're going to gain pleasure. Even the fish of the ocean are going to gain some kind of pleasure in this seventh millennium when the Kodesh Baruch Hu comes along with Shabbos. We have no idea the amount of closeness and pleasure that's going to be, because that's what it's all about. That's why he made the whole thing. And that thing is called Shabbos, which means toshav, which means to return. The word Shabbos literally means to return. Shavas v'yinofash literally means he returned to the spiritual domain. It certainly does not mean he was refreshed, as it is badly translated in some chumashim, because he doesn't get tired. He can't be refreshed because he doesn't get worn down. Shavas v'yinofash means he returns to the spiritual domain to allow Bechira to exist. He's got to pull out of the system so you can be here and think that a pork sandwich is no more important than the will of God.
What do the Muslims pray to?
It's not God. I can tell you now that Allah, according to the Sufi tradition, which is the mystical tradition within Islam, is he's perfect in every way, but he's got one imperfection, one flaw, that he's not allowed and cannot discuss with anyone.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a trading name of God. It isn't as if God's got like a business card and he's a sole trader, but he has a second trading name of Allah for the... No. It isn't as if, well, a mosque is to the same God as a synagogue is, but they just do it differently and they like to have bombs. It's not like that at all. Allah is a separate God. I'm not saying it's worth the rocket attacks, but this is great. All these rockets, it's unbelievable the way that the Muslims use the press. Okay. All these rocket attacks are being thrown in from Gaza into Israel, right? And Al Jazeera, which is the Arab news corporation, sent a guy to Hamas to interview the head Hamas honcho. And he gave him what for? Musa Haskell. You have all these rockets. Listen to what they said. Listen to this. Al Jazeera, don't believe me. Go to Google. But go to Rabbi Google. He'll tell you. Don't believe me. I'm a Jew, right? Of course I'm going to say things like this. Al Jazeera went to him and said like this. All those rockets, a battery of 400 rockets going to Israel, and you don't kill one Jew. Come on, I want a higher score hit ratio. If you've got 400 rockets, which we're paying our Misa for, all Arabs, like Cheatham Hill, they're all taking 10% Sedek, what they call Sedek, and sending it to Hamas. Yeah, and they're buying these rockets with them. I want more of a kill rate. You can't send 400 rockets in and not get one of them. So what did the Al Jazeera guy say to him? Listen to this Loshen. He said, don't you know how to aim your rockets? That's what he said to him. He insulted him on Arab TV. Think about what an insult that is for him. He's paying all the money. He's organized the rockets. They can't kill one Jew. So what did he say? Mamish, I have to say, some gold came out of this Russia's mouth. This is tip top. He said on Al Jazeera, we know how to aim our rockets. It's their God that's preventing it from happening. He didn't say it's Allah. He didn't say it was Allah. It's their God that's doing this. Their God is somehow, we've seen it, we know. That's why we say Moedim de Rabbanan. We say Moedim, when we bow down and say Moedim, we say thank Hashem for looking after us. Why do we say that? Because there's a mem that's open and a mem that's closed. Certain things we know that Hashem's looked after you in life. But there are certain things you have no idea how he looked after you. It's closed from your mind. The people who really know how Hashem's looked after us are the terrorists. Because they've been sitting down planning the Jewish destruction for hundreds of years and it doesn't work. They're the ones that can praise Hashem better than we can on that one. Because we've done this, we tried to use gas, we tried to blow the place up with dirty bombs, nothing's worked. Obviously their God is really free. We don't even know what they've gone to. We don't know the lengths they've gone to, that they failed. That a Kodesh Baruch was automatically garboshed. 400 rockets showering over Israel, not a Jewish kill. It's their God that's protecting them. That's not their God that's protecting the Jews. It's our God that's protecting us. Every single Shabbos that happens, we receive a small 60th portion of an understanding of what this global Shabbos is going to be. That's why we're benching Hashem here, saying, Tachlis Meshe Shema V'aretz, Uvirachta Mikol HaYomi V'Kedashta Mikol HaZamanim, V'Chen Kesu B'Sech. Now we're going to get to that bit. What does it mean you've sanctified the seventh day? You brought us to the conclusion. You've only sanctified the seventh day because it is for the conclusion of the great Shabbos. And we know every Shabbos a little bit more of what that means because it starts to compound. Because as you live your life, you live Shabbos after Shabbos after Shabbos. How many Shabbos have you lived? So those Shabbos days, they start to build and kind of melge together like a big plasticine ball. They start to become something significant. Kept 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 Shabbosos over here, they start to mean something to me. I start to feel what Shabbos really means. The Machzor Vitri points out that one should pause between the words, this is very, very important, between the words Lishmecha, to your name, to the word Tachlis. Notice there's a comma there. Can you see? Ataki das te esyom hashavi Lishmecha. Can you see that? Comma, Tachlis Hashem Varetz. Why is there a comma there? He says, so as not to imply that Hashem's name has Tachlis associated with it. Because you could read it, Ataki Dashta Esyom Hashvi Lishmecha Tachlis. You have sanctified the seventh day to your name, which is an ending. God doesn't have an ending, God's infinite. Don't get confused. God is not limited, He's not time bound, He has no end in and of Himself. His creation is time-bound and has a conclusion. But he himself is beyond Tachlis. He has no end. There's no end point with God. God is infinite. So that's why we've got to be careful to put a comma between that word and the next word. It's important. What's this Kiddushta? Now, we did a whole brocha on Kedushas Hashem. How did we define, if you remember, sanctity? What is Kedushas? It's very difficult. There's no real ink. Separateness, designation, and elevation. All of those words together mean holy. We don't really have an English translation for holy. To sanctify also means to designate and to separate, like Truma is designated, becomes Hekdesh, becomes Kodesh, right? The Magid Sedek says, this is the Mon. Listen, you're gonna love this. This was a worth coming moment. You know, I don't have them very often. But this is where I pepper them in. I've got to throw this in. I was thinking, I've got another one coming up later. I've got to save that for next week. So, because I don't have that. This is, what do you get out of that shit? The Mon. That was cool. This is worth coming. This is a worth coming moment, people. The Mon. That's special food. Oh, I've got to talk about the Mon. How much Mon did you get on Friday, Erev Shabbos? Double portion. How much more did you get on Shabbos? Nothing. You didn't fall on Shabbos. You had to save up the double portion you got for Friday. A bit you wait for Friday, a bit you wait for Shabbos, and then your next smattering of mon will come Sunday. Is that right? Everyone know? Right, that's why we have two loaves of bread, right? Because we're not going to go out working on Saturday, so we just have to save up whatever we have on Friday. That's why we do that, the whole two loaves thing, yeah? Is everyone comfortable? You're going to love it. You're going to love it. The Ian Tefillah says a medrash on Bereishis Rabbah, Yud, chapter 10. Shabbos is like the signet that completes the ring, like a colour entering the chuppah that completes the marriage, which is the ultimate purpose of all the stages that preceded it. So too, Shabbos is the ultimate purpose of creation. Although last in creation, it was first in thought. Why? It's like the man. I've got to tell you about the man. What's going on? I'm going to come back. I've got a whole paragraph to do before. I can't. I've got to go straight to the man and then come back to it because I'm so excited now about the man. It's like this. How was Shabbos more blessed over all days and sanctified over all other times? How do we know that Shabbos is the holiest day of the year? It's a very interesting question. What's the most holy day of the year? Right, we'd all like to say Yom Kippur, wouldn't we? What happens if you break Yom Kippur? What's the punishment? Kores, spiritual excommunication. Spiritual cutting off. Is that the most severe punishment in the Torah? Which death penalty is the most severe? Out of the four, there's four death penalties. Asphyxiation, beheading, burning, and stoning. Stoning. Skeele is...
Why is that more bad than cutting off? Because cutting off is killing you in this world and the next world.
No, cutting off can be rebuilt. Stoning can't. Also, a person who's undergone one of the four death penalties is buried in a separate place, in the burial place. They have to have a separate place because they're being shown that in this world and the next world, they're going to be in a separate place. An individual who was killed by the Beis Din is in a different place in Olam Haba forever. And the worst place you can be, there's two burial plots. There's burial plots, people who were asphyxiated and beheaded, they get one place. People who were burnt and stoned get another place. And they're even further out. The worst of the worst of the worst get stoned. That's the worst situation. Breaking Shabbos, stoning. Eating on Yom Kippur, spiritual excommunication. We don't stone you for that.
Then how does a person make a topic? They've been spiritually disconnected.
You can do tshuva on that. You can get your neshama back.
Well, once they've died.
No, it's spiritual. People could be walking down the world, walking down the road, and they've got kares. What's happened is the neshama has been separated from the nefesh. You're still walking around and talking. You wouldn't even know you don't have access to your neshama. Such a person, by the way, doesn't have bechira. It's a very interesting concept.
Yes, so how can he...
Doesn't matter. The point is... No, you ask questions. It's very nice. The point is that stoning is the worst possible punishment available. That's a given. You can argue until the cows come home, but it is. The punishment for breaking Shabbos is stoning. The punishment for breaking Yom Kippur isn't stoning. Which means what? There's something more choshev about Shabbos, whatever that means, this is about Yom Kippur. Here's something that will bake your noodle. The Netziv in the Haimik Adava on Shemois 16:22 says, when did the extra portion fall aside of man?
3 hours before Shabbos.
Okay, we'll say 3 hours now. It was before Shabbos on Friday. Yeah. It all came in the morning, yeah? Did it fall any other day? Were there any other extra portions? That's the machlokes. The machlokes is did you get an extra dewey of man erev Yontif? The Netziv in the Medrash says, no. The only time we ever saw double portions of man was erev Shabbos. Yontif, it fell on the Yontif as well. This is according to that opinion. Now we're going to have a machlekas, which is going to be this is the magic moment. So according to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos in the Midbar, I'm talking way after. So I'm talking you grew up in the Midbar, you were a kid, you didn't know any regular bread. Pesach, it would seem according to the opinion, well, you got your man, it wasn't comets, man, it was fine, you could have it, and it fell regular portion every single day. The only day that you got two portions, you knew that had to be Friday because you only get it on Friday. Something is up with Shabbos, obviously, which is more choshev than Yontif or anything like that. On a regular weekday... Yes, of course I did. Yeah, absolutely. What an amazing Seder that would have been. Could you imagine being at Moshe Rabbeinu's Seder? And he's telling the kids, and I told you, Uncle Aaron, I went to Pharaoh and he wouldn't listen to me. If you don't believe me, you can ask him. He was there. And he didn't. Oh, he was so naughty, that Pharaoh. And Miriam's like, yes, yes. And it's only because I saved you. Goes, yeah, my big sister. These are the people. They had to make Seder as well. I got news for you. They had to make Seder as well. Once Pesach kicks in, they had to make 39 Sedarim. I'm not talking about the Seder where they actually ate the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim. I'm talking about afterwards. They still had to sit around and make a Seder. Could you imagine being around that table? there's the people that are in the book. So there's no picture books, it's just a mirror. And it was me. I went there and it was him. It was Moses. He went, that's him. Third on the left, shave at Levy. You want to go third on the left? You can go see him if you want. It's okay. So you got picture books, you know, you got your selfies from Chris Yamsuf. You were there. You know, like, I walked through. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? He didn't need our God, he just needs to look around.
The
camera there. It's just unbelievable. Now, what happened to any man that was left over that you didn't eat?
Rotted.
It rotted. But the Friday man that you collected Lekovod Shabbos didn't rot. So one who ate his man on Friday did so only if it would not interfere with his Shabbos meal that he set aside. On the contrary, it enhances his ability to eat the Shabbos meal with pleasure, having not fasted on Friday. You're not allowed to fast day of Shabbos. So that you should be comfortable to eat a good fat meal on Shabbos because you enhance Shabbos by eating the food. So it's a good thing that you shouldn't feel as if, oh, I'm famished and I'm only eating to say, I'm eating it specifically for the enhancement of Shabbos, not to sate my intense hunger because I fasted on Friday. So he ate on Friday to prepare. You know, if you eat before Yom Kippur, it's like you fasted 2 days. If you eat before Yom Kippur to give you strength for Yom Kippur, it's considered that you fasted 2 days Yom Kippur. Some people take around little boxes of raisins or stuff or sweets the whole day. They're just noshing the whole day. It's like they're fasting. How is it possible that eating is fasting? Exactly the same thing. If I'm eating l'shem the fast, it's counted towards my fast. I'm only eating this because I need it, because tomorrow I'm not eating anything. So if you say I'm eating Erev Shabbos to get me fit for Shabbos, that has already the kedusha of Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. That's what there's a mitzvah to taste, the Shabbos food. If you're cooking food for Shabbos, you should taste some. Because it's like you're already eating Shabbos food on Shabbos. Okay. Now, in either case, the impact of the man that fell on Friday was felt doubly on Shabbos. Because you'd already been eating on Friday for Shabbos, and obviously the Shabbos stuff that you left over is magic because it didn't rot. So the double portion of man on Friday emanated from the bracha of Shabbos, right? That's right, right? But what about the kedusha of Yontif? According to an opinion that man fell on Yontif, which is the Tosfos in Beitza 2b, that says it did fall on Yontif, that's where it says it did, it's clear that Shabbos is distinguished and sanctified more than Yontif. Because Shabbos would be the only time it didn't fall. But there's an opinion that says that man did not fall on Yontif either.
Which is why we have the table.
You have two loaves on Yontif as well. Very good. Also because the Torah calls Yontif Shabbos. It's an interesting concept. And double the amount fell Erev Yontif as well. If it's true, according to that opinion, that really we got a double Erev Yontif, what's the great shakes of Shabbos? What's the great... If we're only saying the only time that man didn't fall with Shabbos, the super kedusha, what about the fact that we say that actually didn't fall on Yontif either? So the Dover Shalom says that Shabbos is holier even than Yom Kippur. And he learns it out from this concept of the strict level of the death penalty of stoning for its desecration, whereby you only get lashes if you break Yontif and kares if you break Yom Kippur. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Yakar says that God blessed and sanctified Shabbos directly because the kedusha of Yontif is conferred from who? Us, Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim, is the special Yontif bracha. You sanctify us, we get together in a Beis Din, look at the moon and go, what day is it today? Rosh Chodesh. Work out from Rosh Chodesh what day Yontif is going to be. Yontif is set by us. God looks at his calendar and says, they've made a mistake. Doesn't matter. Scrub my calendar. I go by their calendar. Torah lo b'shamayim hi. I pass it by the humans, not by, you know, that I have to go what they go by. I'll set it on that date, whatever they say, and I'll turn up. Which means if we're involved in setting it up, it can't be as Kodesh as Shabbos, because Shabbos is this emanation from Hashem coming from the ultimate Shabbos, which is the seventh millennium, which is just him. So the light of Shabbos that comes through is pure, unadulterated God. The light of Yontif that comes through is coming through a particular anniversary in time set up by a human court that organized the calendar. So even if you want to hold that man fell on Yontif, or even if you want to hold that man didn't fall on Yontif, Shabbos is more Kodesh because of where it emanates from. It emanates from Hashem directly, while Yontif emanates from an anniversary in time, usually to do with us, set up by human beings in a council that organize a calendar. God doesn't organize a calendar for Shabbos, it just happens every 7 days. Be in tune with it. You know what I mean? And where's it coming from? God himself. So some kind of anniversary of the fact that we got out of Egypt, or some kind of emancipation and freedom, and that obviously it's going to fall. It's Hashem saying, this is what it's all about. It's all about me getting close to you. I'll open the doors. We're good to go. So Shabbos is plugging into Hashem himself. That's why the Kiddush is unparalleled. It's a bit of a shock that we have something so holy so regularly. I said that's one of the big challenges of Shabbos. If it only came once a year, we could all suck ourselves up. It's like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur's a bit scary because first of all, it's once a year, and second of all, we don't get to eat. Okay, so because of that, we're like, it's Yom Kippur coming up. You know, it's big. Yeah, it's 27-hour fast, and it's like 14 hours of davening, and it's like pretty heavy. So we like go through a whole year sucking ourselves up for like this big one day, right? Imagine that with Shabbos. That makes more sense. Kadosh Baruch Hu himself is going to reveal himself that one day. It's going to be kind of like a microcosm of the whole macrocosm of all creation. It's going to happen on this planet like it's going to be for the whole universe. So you've got the whole year building up to this. I'd hear that. Comes every week. We'd get lost. But the problem is, we have the challenge. It could become staid. The Shabbos is just Shabbos, frankly, whatever after Shabbos. We talk about it like it's cheap. We don't realize it's the most special of all specialnesses. It's more choshev than Yom Kippur. So much so, the man tells us that. There's something about it that's just super duper. The big challenge for us is tap into that, because anything that becomes regular becomes normal for us. And once it becomes normal, it becomes cheapened. Robertson Sipora Heller says in one of her Svarim, if there was only one tree in the world, we'd all make it a pilgrimage to go in our life to see it once. It's crazy. It's a stick that grows out of the ground. And then there's fruit on the end. You're obviously mad, right? It doesn't. No, there really is. You've got to go see it. There's an orange tree in Nicaragua. We all get on a plane once. I went to go see the tree. Could you imagine? You wouldn't believe it. Like, you heard taught stories when you were a kid. There's no such thing as trees. Things. Why would they grow up? Why would they do that? Then in the end, they go leafy, and they've got these things you can eat, like these balls you can eat. Only the greatest leaders are allowed one on an animal that they can eat or not. Because there's only one tree in the world. We'd all go sit and touch it. But because trees are everywhere, it doesn't mean anything. Childbirth, an open lace, happens every day. Doesn't matter. Shabbos is a bit of a problem in the fact that it's so choshev and it's so common that the commonality with the chashivas actually undo a lot of its specialness for us. We lose sight of the kedusha of Shabbos because of its frequency. That's a problem for us. Notice God withholds the food on the Shabbos for us. What do? We do muksa. We withhold the movement of objects. The best thing we can do to remember something is special is to withhold. That reminds us. Holding back is the most important thing we can do to remember not to touch. Because if you overtouch something, it becomes too familiar. That distance is the most important thing. That's why Melech HaShabbos, you have to hold back pretty much everything. Unless it's Shabbos directive, what are you doing? Why? Because you have no idea how you're mummish in the zone. I know Habar, you don't need to do anything except get close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So too on Shabbos, you don't do anything except get close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? So there's 39 Melechos of Shabbos, and on top of that, there's Wula Muksa. As if you weren't busy enough not doing those 39 Melechos, along come the Rabbonim, who were the prophets, by the way. It was the prophets that set up Muksa, seeing that Klal Yisrael weren't keeping Shabbos properly in the times of the temple. And they actually made it so stringent that what we've got today is being weakened and weakened and weakened until the laws of Muksa that we have today. There's like the laws of Muksa, which were extreme. You couldn't move anything unless it was directly used for Shabbos. Today we can do that. We can move things. We can move things. Sarach, Malkum, and Gufay, if you need to. Without even the back of your hand, there's a light bulb. You can move it, a pen. You can move it if it's in your way. You can't handle it generally. It's much, much more relaxed. The Prophet saw the best thing we can do to increase Shabbos is to get you not to move anything. Because you're losing sight of how special this Shabbos is. Oh, Rabbi Sai, Mr. Pat, you know what? I'll go back to that. What does it mean for your name? What does it mean we're doing it for your name? I'll just do this one thing and then I'll stop, because this is the bit that I jumped, because I had to get to the monk because I was so excited about it. The Maggid Tzedek says that the satiation of work from Shabbos should be for God's name, not for personal benefit. Why do you think we keep a weekend? Why do we keep a weekend? Why has the week come to an end? What's good about a weekend? Why was Pharaoh okay that we kept Shabbos? You know, we kept Shabbos in Mitzrayim.
Because it enables us to work faster.
Oh, it worked out from an economic scale. It's a scale of economics, isn't it? So if I get them to work for 6 days, and I get them to stop for one day, and they recharge for one day, I get more money out of the 6 days. If I push them all 7 days, they'll wear out, and I won't get my money's worth. So it's okay to keep a day off, because it makes sense from a business productivity concept. It's like letting the land lie fallow or something. It makes sense. When the Torah was given, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, now you have to keep Shabbos. Shmecha. It's got to be for my name. Don't you think, look, I work hard during the week and I do this. It makes sense. We should have a day off and then get back to whatever it is Hashem wanted to do during the 6 days, which is the weekdays, and that's when we do our work. No. You're not taking a day off. Shabbos, if anything, is a day on. It's a day tuned into Kedusha for me. You've got to work at that. You're doing this for me, not because it makes sense to put down your work tools for a day. You're doing it for me. It's interesting that the Ramban in Shemois 13:16 says that the purpose of the entire creation is that man recognize Hashem and in this way create a relationship with him that will last forever. What a beautiful thing. That's the Ramban. The whole thing he made, he wants a relationship with you. We've talked about this over and over again. He wants a relationship with you. In the Siddur, Ga'onim U'Mekubalim, it says in the name of the Sefer HaTamim that Shabbos gives honour to God's name insofar as its Kedusha arouses the heart to ponder Hashem. And God's power and oneness is the purpose of that, and it was created for him. So the Gudus Ezov says that Shabbos, God's name and his attributes lower into this world. That's what gives meaning to the whole Shabbos and the whole concept of the 6 days of creation. It's because he is going to make himself more accessible for you to have that relationship the Ramban talks about. It's about him, not about the fact that it makes sense from a business productivity state. That's the special condition. That's what it means. Ataki dashta esyom hashvi lishmecha, for your name. I'm doing this for you. Because I know you want a relationship with me for reasons I don't know why. I don't know why you want a relationship with me. But I know that this is what you want, so I've got to do it. Why me? I can't answer. But I know that's what you want, so you meet the one who goes, I've got to do the relationship with you, right? That's what we're saying here. You sanctify the seventh day for your name's sake. The conclusion of all creation of heaven and the earth. That makes sense. But as Hashem, next time we'll finish off this in Vayechulu. Wow, Vayechulu. Should know, even if you don't daven Maariv, you decide you're not going to daven Maariv, you should still say the verses of Vayechulu Friday night, otherwise possibly you're not in Shabbos. And we'll talk about why that should be next time. Boys, I should have an amazing week. Be'ez Hashem and a good Shabbos.